Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
The G&D radio program is sponsored exclusively by the law firm Condori & Murad. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are there to protect you and your family's assets. Here's what you do. You schedule a free consultation with their team today. You do that by visiting kmlawyers.com. And you tell them we sent you because they're going to give you a good deal. That's kmlawyers.com. Last night, Monday Night Football, the ESPN telecast, pans to the coach's booth. You've seen this shot 1 million times. It's a bunch of dudes side by side, calling plays on headset mics. Normally, they're wearing team-issued apparel. You know, if it's chilly out, maybe a hoodie, polo shirt. They're comfortable. They're in air conditioning. There was one very handsome gentleman in the Raiders coaching booth who wasn't saying a whole lot in a suit and tie. And that person was Tom Brady, the minority owner of the Raiders, who it turns out has these conversations multiple times a week with the offensive coordinator of the Raiders, Chip Kelly. This should not surprise you, by the way. He is heavily involved running that team. He ran their search for their general manager, his buddy John Spytek, who was with the Bucks at one point in time. He helped run their search for their head coaching gig, supposedly. One of his, you know, longtime, I would say, maybe not friends, but guys he had a relationship with in football, Pete Carroll, right, comes in as their head coach. So this was on the telecast last night. This is NFL and ESPN media talking about Tom Brady during the broadcast.
Brady really had an involvement with this team. We hear so much about Brady as the owner. Chip Kelly told us that he talks to Brady 2 to 3 times a week. They go through the phone, they go through the game plan, and Brady is a luxury for the coaches.
So that was the sideline reporter during the Monday Night Football broadcast last night on ESPN with that nugget. Tom Brady talking to Chip Kelly multiple times a week about strategy. Now, again, not crazy. Here's what is crazy, though. This is the Tom Brady who calls games on Fox. This is the Tom Brady who called the Commanders-Giants game this past week. Now, the NFL has built in a couple of walls, firewalls, that keep him from all of the access that everybody else has in person. So, like, he does not go to practices in Ashburn, like Kevin Burkhardt or other members of his broadcast crew, Aaron Andrews, Tom Rinaldi do. He does not get to sit in meetings in Ashburn in a boardroom with Adam Peters and Dan Quinn and Jaden Daniels and everybody. But he does get to participate in all of those meetings on Zoom. That's the difference. So he still gets to meet with Dan Quinn on Zoom. They just go, hey, Tom, you got anything? And he goes, yeah, Dan, you know, what's your third down package looking like this year? Whatever kind of questions he wants, and then coaches and players can either answer or they don't. But he has all of this behind-the-scenes access that you get as a commentator providing analysis as part of a billion-dollar TV deal between the primary networks and the league. And he is a minority owner for the Raiders. And if you're Mitch Rales or Mark Ein, and you're not involved in hiring the GM or the coach anymore than, you know, just standing beside Josh Harris and giving a little counsel in his ear, like a normal minority owner, even still, that's an outrage to me. It's a crazy conflict of interest. But Danny, his fingerprints are on everything. He's got the headset on during the game. He's at a Raiders-Chargers game last night. He called the Bears game this past week against the Lions. The Raiders have the Bears coming up next week. Someone explain to me how this is not a gigantic conflict of interest, why the league is okay with this, and why this is allowed. I think it's asinine. And to then display it for everybody last night, to rub our faces in it, It's one thing if you just do this because we're all a bunch of idiots. We're all just a bunch of mice running on our little ball, and we're all just looking for a nut. You know, we're just squirrels out here going, oh, what's over there? What's over there? You just count on everyone being stupid and the loudest people being the dumbest people on social media going, stop whining about it. You just don't like Tom Brady. No. Smart people understand this is a conflict of interest. This is ridiculous. But then you rub everyone's faces in it. You do this completely unaware. This completely. I just woke up and wasn't alive for the last year to hear what anybody thinks about Tom Brady as a commentator and as a coach. Report where you're showing him in the booth with a headset mic on, talking about how involved he is in their offensive planning and Chip Kelly's mindset and game planning and play calling, whatever else. Tomorrow, I've got a call with the Chicago Bears. I'm going to talk to Ben Johnson about his fourth down and red zone planning. This is
their
so
week
stupid.
Four opponent. Yeah, it's so here's my we've talked about this before. Once a couple trial balloons happened and they realized like nothing's going to happen to us. There's no ill effect. People don't care. They just want to hear good things about their team. Whatever, and that's in all walks of life at all times. It's everybody wants. They just want to be reinforced. So nobody hears anything hard. Nobody hears anything challenging. You just hear what you want to hear at all times. And always remember that I agree with everything you think, and I think the good thing is good and the bad thing is bad. We're on your team. But we do that now, and that translates directly to this, where it's an obvious conflict of interest. It would never happen 10, 15, 20 years ago. It would have been stopped immediately. Someone would have gone, that's conflict of interest. You can't do that. Here's why. Oh, you're absolutely right. But now it's, what's anyone going to do about it? You know, like, ah, come on. Players don't, the fans don't really care. A couple guys might get mad, just like the people threaten to leave over kneeling. People threaten to leave because of concussions. People threaten to leave over this and this and this. No one leaves. Everyone watches. They can do what they want, and they know it. That's it.
This,
to me,
feels like a golden goose thing. I think there are two guys in my mind that kind of have carte blanche to do whatever they want, and the league will say, here's your red carpet. Just tell us where to put it. Brady and Manning are probably the two guys, yeah. If I had to guess, that could get away with something like this. But I don't know that anybody else would really be able to. I don't think Greg Olsen or some other broadcaster would be in this situation. First of all, I don't think most guys would try to. They would pick one or the other, understanding, A, I can't do both jobs as well as I want. I need to be able to. But B, I'm not sure that I want to put myself or the team or my broadcast crew in that spot. But the number of people who are okay with this, confounding to me. If you look at this and you don't see that a guy who has immense access, what people will do is, because I got a million of these responses on social media last night, you don't even understand that he doesn't have the same access as most analysts. You know, you should do more homework on this. He's not allowed to go to the team facility. You're Bruce Allen? You want to tell me if there are phones in Hawaii or not? You can't make a phone call? Do you understand that he's at the stadium at 9 in the morning and he's down on the field working from the moment I get to the press box at 10 o'clock to the moment they kick off at 1 and he goes up and has a little private elevator to get him upstairs right before kickoff at 12:07 or whatever? He's down on the field for 2 hours. He's having whatever conversations with anybody he wants to. Oh, there's Terry McLaurin. Oh, there's Cliff Kingsbury. And they're all coming up. You think they're just seeing Tom Brady and walking the other direction? Dapping him up. What's up, goat? How you doing, man? You think they're going to have the same discussion with Tom Brady they're going to have with me or Danny or Peter Schrager or Lisa Salters? They're not going to. Newsflash, they're not going to. They shouldn't, by the way. He's arguably the greatest player who ever lived. He's one of the great quarterbacks of all time. They should absolutely have some respect and some reverence and light up and be excited that one of the great players in the history of their sport is doing this game and broadcasting. That's how it works. That's why these guys get hired, because he's down there and he can drop that anecdote later on during the game. That's quite literally the gig. But what shouldn't happen is then, as the minority owner of the Raiders, he potentially gets any kind of information that could later be used. This is my other favorite thing I keep hearing. Oh, come on. You really think he's going to learn something and then use it to the Raiders' benefit? You mean the most competitive person in the history of the NFL? You mean the Michael Jordan of football?
You know how stupid he would be if he didn't?
What a moron he would be to have learned a bunch of stuff about the Commanders when he called the Commanders game against the Giants last week And then when they're playing the Raiders this week, as the owner of the team with jobs on the line and buddies of his who are GMs and head coaches and players who are on the verge of going 1-2 with his name attached to this thing as an owner and everyone knowing how heavily involved he is, he's not going to use every bit of information that he gets. Now, I can't give you specific examples. I'm not sitting here telling you that he is doing this on purpose. Of course he's not. He's not becoming a broadcaster and an owner at the same time to benefit his cause. I think he wants to be the best broadcaster ever, and he wants to be the best owner ever, and it just so happens he's right now allowed to do both. And frankly, while what he's doing is incorrect, I don't even blame him. He should try to do this, and a grown-up at the league office should say, Tom, you can't be the owner of the Raiders and Chip Kelly's assistant to the offensive coordinator and also call the game of the team who you guys are playing next week, bud. But he doesn't go to the facility. He has Zoom meetings with all of these people. Who cares if he's at the facility? It is crazy. And I cannot believe they showed him in the booth last night. Celebrated is not the right word, but
as if it's normal.
They shined a light on it.
Yeah.
I don't know if someone did it on purpose, because remember, he's Fox, not ESPN, so maybe in their mind it was kind of a little elbow to them or something. But to basically turn a bright light, a spotlight onto Tom Brady in the booth last night, here's the guy who's going to be calling the game that the Raiders are, you know, I guess he won't call Raiders Bears, but you know, his team's going to be playing against the team whose game he called yesterday. And he's helping out Chip Kelly on the headset.
Well, I think he has the Bears game this weekend, I think, and then the Bears play the Raiders in week 4. Like, he just did. You know what I mean?
Back-to-back
like,
weeks.
That's kind of the normal thing, and I can't believe that everybody's cool with it. But let me rephrase.
He was at Northwest Stadium in week 1.
Yeah.
His team plays Washington in week 3. Is there anything else to know here? Well, he didn't get to go to the facility, Grant. Cool. What's your next point? Because that one's not any good. Let's get to the next one that might be.
Right. So it's the real argument is not that if it's a conflict of interest, because it is. It's if you care or not. And all I want, like, again, it's this. The horse has left the barn on this one. The toothpaste is out of the tube. Whatever analogy you want to use. Pandora's box is open, and we go, oh, we're fine with it. Nobody's bothered. The rest of us, small, little minority group here, that are just sort of generally calling balls and strikes on things, whether this is good or this is bad, and you could disagree with an individual call or moment or whatever. This is such an obvious one, but the point is, everyone kind of shrugs their shoulders at it. And then sort of justifies it or rationalizes it. Rationalizes it? That's not it. What am I trying to say? Rationalize.
Justifies.
Justifies or rationalizes. That sounds weird. Rationalizes.
Rationalize is a word.
Yeah. Anyway, point is, everybody just sort of looks the other way. Doesn't really care. They're not bothered by it. Just, I think, because they can't see what goes into the prep to be the broadcaster. In other words, it's in their mind or in their sort of version of the events, this behind-the-scenes access that is essential to make this the best television product we've ever had, that stuff doesn't show up. They just hear somebody smooth-talking, saying, like, right here, they love to go to Zach Ertz on third down, on third and fives. They set this look up right here. Now, some of that's watching film. Some of that is knowing a tendency here or there. Some of that is the discussions that you get, that you have. Those things happen. The research happens, whether it's in-person at the facility, whether it's via Zoom, whatever. The point is, this is a conflict of interest. There is no argument against that. It is. Period. Full stop. Any argument against it is wrong. Try again. It's about whether you care or not. And what the NFL has discovered is that nobody cares.
He's getting immense data. You know, these packets of information that his network's paying a lot of money for. You're getting tons of behind-the-scenes access, conversations, touch points with players and executive. Many of them electronic because the league doesn't allow them to go to practice, which is the one thing that they've gotten right in all of this. But if he's not at practice, he's on the field before the game. I mean, he's still in person meeting with everybody before the game. I see him down there walking with Kevin Burkhardt having conversations. Nobody's stopping him from discussing things. I would imagine that if you're Dan Quinn, you're Adam Peters, like these people that run organizations all over the league are very smart. and they must just buckle down and give him nothing. That's what I have to imagine. Even though it's Tom Brady, and if he was only a broadcaster and not a minority owner, you'd open up the whole office to him. You'd have him watch tape with you. You'd ask for his opinion on your offense.
You'd pick his brain.
100%. Which is actually one of the reasons why I think being a minority owner for him right now, you know, maybe you could have just gone in that direction all the way in. But I think he could be the greatest broadcaster ever because he's going to get so many benefits of the doubt, so much intel, so much participation and cooperation from teams nobody's ever gotten before. But I think you just have to shut it completely down. You know, Tom's on the call and they're going, what do we know about Jaden Daniels' health? Not really sure. I think you go full press conference mode with these. Normally, you're given what, you know, first 15 script, we're coming out, we're going deep to Terrell Pryor. Look for this. We worked on this end around all week long. It's a gadget play we really like. What situation might you use it in? If we get him, you know, plus side of the field on a first and 10 up enough that we feel good, you know, look out for that play. Anything we need to know about, you know, your return game, is there something to look out for? Because you don't want to be caught off guard as a broadcast crew. And in varying degrees, teams are going to help you. I mean, I've been, not at the NFL level, obviously, but I've been involved in some of these meetings at different capacities calling games over the years. And it's just an opportunity to get everybody, essentially, all the info they need to present the product as best as possible in a way that well represents your organization. And so for him to partially still be involved in those, albeit not in person, and to own a team, I'm sorry. Like, there's no two circles of the Venn diagram. It's just one circle. They're just sitting on top of each other.
So if you're the kind of minority owner that literally sits there and collects the checks, you know, because you put your cash in and you weren't involved, and there are restrictions on that side.
One of the 17 guys for the Commanders whose names we don't know.
Yeah. One of these guys that when Mark Ein and Rails and Harrison Company need a capital call to come up with $3 billion to build the stadium, and they call one of their investment partners with Apollo Capital or Global, whatever the damn thing's called, and you go, hey, we need this number of million. This is the percentage you'll own, and here's your payback timeline according to our business prospectus. Okay. I could live with that, honestly. But when it's, A, it's Tom Brady, the most intimately, like, you think that guy's not going to be involved in everything? What? How hot the food is in the cafeteria? What temperature the hot tea is? What temperature the building is kept at? That dude Alex Guerrero is running roughshod over the Raiders organization right now, making sure that nobody eats any lycopenes or inflammatory peanuts. Like, that's the crap that is happening. He's got his tentacles in every single thing because he's Tom Brady. If he was, again, just a minority owner that had a check-writing capacity, I could live with this a lot better, but it's not. And they've already shown us he's intimately involved, and it's almost like they're bragging about it. Again, because they know no one's going to do peep.
I think there's two sides to this. You either look at a guy who owns a team and also calls games, sometimes weeks apart, being in the booth for his club against that team and then seeing that team on the field as a broadcaster and taking part in behind-the-scenes meetings, getting information, as a conflict of interest, which I know sounds crazy. Or you're this guy who tweets me and goes, Tom Brady can do whatever he pleases. Yep. Quit crying.
There we go.
That's the argument. If there's a better one, let me hear it. 800-636.
I think that's it. That's the closer.
1067, 800-636-1067. But that's kind of the other side of this. You're soft. Brady's the man. Versus, this seems like a massive conflict of interest and an egregious thing that's being allowed. I want to get to your thoughts on this next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Football Conversation on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long, starting at $30 all your first year. That's $2.50 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. If you have any issue with Tom Brady, a minority owner, getting immense access behind the scenes to the games he calls, and the teams that he is calling games of, being in the booth for the Raiders as a de facto member of the coaching staff, as a very involved member of ownership. Oftentimes, within a week of when he's calling a game, his team is playing that game. That team, rather. 800-636-1067. Steve is in Chesapeake on G&D. What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, man.
I'm with you guys. I said this from the jump. Like, how are you part owner of an NFL team and you're a broadcaster for national TV? It doesn't make sense to me because those people, they got to do their homework all through the week to learn everything about every single person that's on that team. And now you have a person that's Tony Romo, like, calling plays, picking out plays, like, hey, if I see this, I do that. Now you're doing that all the time, which is smart because you're good at it because you won 7 rings off of that. Now you have that information and take it to the team that you own. It sounds a little suspect to me. But
so he makes an interesting point, and I appreciate the call. Thank you for listening on the Odyssey app. Wherever you're at all over the country or outside the United States, you can listen free and available. Odyssey is a great app, and you can pause and rewind the show. He brings something up that I find compelling there, Danny, which is, for him, it's an open shut case when I find out you're an owner. So I'm going somewhere with this. Head coach, would you be allowed to call games in the NFL and get any access to other teams? I would say no, right?
No.
Like, on an off week, would, you know, Bruce Arians went right to Fox after he got fired. I don't think anyone would even try, but would Ron Rivera in a bye week, who was like Mr. Media, would he have been allowed to go call games for Fox and have any kind of Zoom meetings with opposing teams? I would say that would be shunned upon. That would not have happened.
No, and they've had guys, like, once your season's over, join, you know, studio crews and whatever to provide an extra layer of analysis. But yeah, I mean, you can go down a million ways. Let's say an umpire was independently wealthy and won the lottery, but still likes calling balls and strikes. Well, he's not going to, he's part owner of the Nats. He's not going to do the Nats games, but he'll do the Mets games. He'll do the Braves games, do the Phillies games. People would be fine with that? Of course you would.
But I don't even mean coming in, you know, flying in for the game and just sitting in the booth and not being a part of the broadcast crew all season. I mean, would a player be allowed to call games all season? No. Would a front office member? No. Would a member of the coaching staff? No. And so you work your way up to owner. Would Jerry Jones or Josh Harris be allowed to? I would imagine the answer to that is no. The way this is allowed, the way you skirt it is, I'm a minority owner. Which can mean a lot of things, by the way. As you said, there are minority owners.
This is Mitch Rales.
Who have, you know, Mitch Rales is actually fairly involved. He's at every game. He's at training camp practices. He's the confidant to Josh Harris. But there's 17 minority owners or owners total for the Commanders. I don't know who number 16 or number 17 is. It's some guy that I'll probably never know or see or meet. His name's in the page 14 of the press guide or whatever. Would it be okay for that guy to call games? Probably in some way, more so than Tom Brady. Sure, but there's like this pendulum, I guess, is my point. And Brady ran their GM in coaching searches, according to reports. Brady is talking to Chip Kelly multiple times a week. So I guess my point is, isn't that information important for the league too, now that we have that? I would like to think maybe they could reassess this. I don't think they have any interest in doing that.
No, because he's too big a star. And that's the point. It's the whatever analogy you want to use, too big to fail, or they realize that it's going to be met with a shoulder shrug. Again, there have been several crises over the last however many years in the NFL that was going to bring about the end of the NFL. But what was the Mark Cuban prediction? Like the overstuffed pig gets slaughtered first or some kind of crap? Nope, wrong. It's just a never-ending freight train where they're going to make more money than anybody could ever fathom. And it's the only thing people want more than anything else is that game on television. And they're going to find new revenue streams and new. They're going to play in London, play in Rio de Janeiro, play in Prague, play in Russia, wherever they can play. They're going to keep making more money. They'll be just fine. They withstood what we all thought were going to be damaging things, and they emerged stronger in an era where nobody concentrates viewership on anything outside of, you know, the occasional sporting event or if somebody says something weird at the Emmy Awards. This is the only game in town. They are immune, and they know it now. And so there's no stopping it. So they have no interest in correcting it.
Let's go to Vaughn in Alexandria on the fan. What's up, Vaughn?
What's up, gents?
Hey, buddy.
So logical question for you guys, right? I'm assuming that this has to be approved by the league owners, correct?
Yes. Well, him being an owner is approved by the league owners.
No, him having access to the other teams will have to be a league. You said there was parameters put in place. I'm assuming that was approved by the league owners, correct?
I don't know. I don't think so. So basically what would have had to happen is when he got approved as a minority owner unanimously on, that was October 15th, 2024, he had already signed a contract for Fox and it was known he was going to be a broadcaster, if that's what you mean. But
right.
The idea that he was going to get this access, absolutely not. It was a major question as to what was the NFL going to set up as parameters to kind of allow this to work without him being able to have this conflict of interest, essentially.
So my only question is, being as competitive as we know the owners are, do you really think they're going to allow an unfair advantage to one team when that one team have owners that's working competitors to other owners across the league? Do you really think they'll allow that access knowing that it's unfair, a competitive advantage?
Well, they are currently. It's happening.
But that's what I'm saying. They must have approved it. If they approved it, they don't have an issue with it. I would think that. That's the only logical thought based on everything you're saying. If they approved it, they don't have an issue. So why would we have an issue if the league owners, who are, you know, their competitors, if they approved it, why would fans care?
So I don't think they approved. I don't think there was ever some vote on should Tom Brady be allowed to zoom in on calls with people from the teams that he's going to be broadcasting games for. You are correct when you say, while knowing that he had a broadcast career taking off, they approved him as a minority owner. What I don't think owners probably knew at that time was that the NFL would allow him the access that he's getting despite that. And I would imagine if you talk to owners, and I have a very, very limited scope on how they feel, although the limited scope that I have is that it's not that popular with the people that I'm familiar with. But what I would say is, I'll bet you they weren't aware of, also, he's a minority owner. A lot of guys, you think about, like, you know, Bobby Wagner's a minority owner of a WNBA team. He's not hiring their general manager. He's not hiring their head coach. He's not meeting with their, you know, offensive play designer twice a week to go over the sets that they're getting their power forward. Darius, who's the power forward of Bobby Wagner's WNBA team? Find that for me. I figured you would know. You're a big WNBA guy. You were at the game with Bobby Wagner last week. You were there.
You went to Bobby Wagner's game.
But the point of the dude's story is, a lot of times these minority owners that are players, like Aaron Rodgers, I think, has an ownership stake in the Bucks, doesn't he? What are some of the other ones? I've heard A-Rod's got a minority ownership stake somewhere, doesn't he?
Maybe majority of that with the Timberwolves or something.
There's a bunch of these guys. Tom Brady is unbelievably involved, like running the show, supposedly, and overstated slightly, but the GM is his boy from Tampa. He's on the phone with the OC a couple times a week talking offense. I don't think owners knew what they didn't know when they approved this and assumed probably, hey, the NFL will have some guardrails here. Now, here's a better question, Danny. Mm-hmm. If they go to the commissioner who works on behalf of the owners and enough of them go, this is insane, would he do something about it? I would like to think he would.
So here's this from the Pro Football Talk story about a month ago. A year ago, the NFL addressed the obvious and blatant conflict of interest arising from Brady owning a piece of the Raiders and serving as a game broadcaster for Fox by creating a specific set of rules. Entering the second year of Brady's tenure in the booth, those rules have been revised. Via Andrew Marchand of The Athletic, the league will now allow Brady to participate in production meetings. Per the report, Brady is expected to still be barred from attending practices. The report does not address whether he will continue to be prevented from entering the facilities of other teams and or the hotel of a team that is on the road for a given game. Brady was allowed to participate in production meetings prior to Super Bowl, whatever the Roman letters mean, 59. I can't know what LIX means. I'm sorry, I can't count that
way. This past Super Bowl.
Yeah. So the long and short is,
by the way, so he has more access now than he did a year ago in his second season. He has gotten more access. Because last year, I think outright, he wasn't allowed to have meetings, and now he is.
The long and short of it is, what the league realized, most specifically, is even if an individual owner, let's say, you know, again, within the division, the Kansas City Chiefs are going, are you bleeping kidding me with this? Or the Broncos might be, or whatever. Everyone understands he's too big. He's too big. He's now such an outsized personality, they can't bear to have one of their partners be without him on television. Because what should happen of a regular mortal that had a normal good football career, not a guy that led the league in touchdown passes at 43 years old and won a Super Bowl, going to a second team, which nobody ever does.
Steve Berline?
Yeah, or Steve Tasker, any Steve. A normal broadcaster, you'd go, choose. The incredibly lucrative financial position of being an NFL owner, minority or otherwise, where you just invest cash up front and sit there and watch your value double every 10 years. Or a broadcaster where you get to make $30-some million in cash each and every season. You must choose. He's so big that they can't stop the train. So everybody knows they have to kind of roll over and die. And that's kind of why I bring that up to the caller's point.
Ross in Ashburn, how are you? Thanks for the call.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey, bud.
I think the reason nobody is worried about it, you guys are completely right. It's a conflict. It's a problem. Nobody's worried about it because people still see the Raiders as a 4-13 team, and they haven't started just beating the heck out of people. And until people are worried about the Raiders, I don't think they're going to see it as some sort of advantage. But it's absolutely going to be a problem if and when they get good.
Oh, that's interesting. I want to get into that.
I think that's a huge part of it.
The fact that the Raiders are viewed as harmless, which, by the way, they're not that harmless. This is a team that could easily win.
Yeah, but if it was the Bills,
9 or 10 games,
people would be more pissed.
I mean, think about the Chiefs. Every single time there's a penalty thrown that goes Kansas City's way, the theory is that the NFL's just rooting for Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift and the league to be on national TV in the Super Bowl or whatever. That's the theory. Can you imagine if Tom Brady was a minority owner for the Kansas City Chiefs with the Hunt family and was doing this? Like, what that... Or just any really good team. Buffalo, Green Bay. Maybe that is a factor. Is the fact that it's the Raiders a reason why it seems to be less of an issue for people? This will be our poll of the day presented by Metropolitan Moving and Storage, local, long distance, residential, commercial. 3 decades of best-in-class service and experience. Go vote on the 106.7 The Fan X page right now. Do you think this is an issue? Should the league do something about this? Grant and Danny on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, The Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
We'll take you up to 6:15 today on Grant and Danny. Pregame of game two of a Nats doubleheader with the Atlanta Braves. Washington's lost the first two games in the series, including a 6-3 ball game this afternoon that ended just after 3:15. So that means Shorty, two-hour broadcast for us, and then Charlie and Eric filling in for Dave Jagler tonight will be on the call coming up at 6:45, 1 hour from now, first pitch. Nats Braves on a wet night over at Nationals Park. Clary, can I get a weather report, please, for the people that are driving to the ballpark as we speak, listening to the flagship home of the Nationals right now? Are they going to get this ball game in? I'm a little worried about that for them.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I'm a little worried as well. But with that said, I do believe they will get the game in tonight. I think there are going to be some on and off rain showers. Now, how heavy does it get? That is the big question right now. And if I were to say, I think the game starts on time.
Okay.
I think we get the game in.
Wow.
And I think we'll be good.
Will we have no delays?
No delays. That is what I'm saying right now. I think we have no delays. It might get a little heavy for a couple minutes here and there, but I think we should be fine other than that.
Okay, we'll push through it. This is a Danny Ruye post-game experience
today.
So,
remarkably, in this stupid weathered area, I have not had one of these.
Amazing.
You have been dealt, what, half a dozen?
Early part of the year, I don't really know why. Every single time I did post-game and I went over to Nats Park, there were lengthy delays and or postponements.
And all we did was take turns. It wasn't like I'm going, look at the weather.
Right.
I didn't know. This is my turn to pay the piper. This is going to stink.
It'll be a long night for you.
I think we're doing a lot of stopping and starting. I think it's a lot of Brian Robinson approaching the hole.
Tom Brady is in the broadcast booth for Fox every single weekend, calling the NFL game with some of the best clubs in the National Football League. He has access by way of these Zoom meetings with front office executives, coaches, players, gets insight and intel as a broadcaster. But yet, he's a minority owner of the Raiders. And we saw last night, kind of had our faces rubbed in the fact that Tom Brady, as a minority owner, is more involved than almost every other person in his position. You don't see Mark Ine and Mitch Rales with a headset on. They're not having weekly calls with Cliff Kingsbury about play calling like Tom Brady is, according to the report on ESPN last night. We're talking about that conflict of interest and why the NFL is allowing it to happen. Ian's in Vienna. What's up, Ian? How are you?
So, of course, I agree that it is a conflict of interest, and it's odd to see someone do it so brazenly. You know, like you would think Tom Brady would be like, let me just do it a little bit more behind the scenes. But I agree with your point, Danny, that he's become too big to check. And that's the point I want to kind of address. I never, ever understand these absurd bloated salaries for announcers. In my 45 years of living, I have never once seen someone say, oh, who's calling that game? Oh, therefore I will watch. If Tony Romo died tomorrow, if Tom Brady was gone, if Joe Buck was gone, my NFL habits wouldn't change one iota. I don't think those people should be paid more than a dollar. It's not like you guys on the radio where someone says, I like this radio show more than that radio show, therefore I listen. The product is the NFL, not who the announcers are. And this league is so absurdly flush with money that they're like, we'll pay Tom Brady $30 million. I've never met a fan who's like, oh, Tom Brady's calling the game, therefore I'll watch that game. It's so superfluous and so gluttonous. It's comical. And I think if the NFL said, hey, Brady, step aside, the league would just roll on like it does any other day. And I frankly wish he would, because he's not even a good broadcaster.
Well, so I agree with a lot of that, actually. Maybe the back half of that anyway. If the NFL came down on Brady and said, hey, you're going to be a minority owner of the Raiders, but you can't keep doing this broadcasting thing. Sucks for Tom Brady, who signed a 10-year, $375 million deal, $37.5 million per year, to your point, about a lot of money. But I would have no problem with that. And by the way, Fox would not miss him, in my opinion. They'd keep it moving. Greg Olson gets elevated, who's a better color commentator anyway. Everyone gets bumped up a notch. They'd be fine. Like, the league will go on. If me and Danny, sadly, aren't here, then someone else will be sitting here, and people will get their commanders fixed, and it'll mostly just be after a few weeks like we were never here. I am aware of that. My ego's not big enough to not understand that, right? what I do disagree on a little bit is the reason these guys get paid is there are certain voices that lend to legitimacy of game. There are certain voices when you hear it where you know this is bigger. You know, this is the big leagues, so to speak. And when you tune into a game, whether it's a regional broadcast, like a Joe Beninati who you have to pay good money to 25 years in versus some whippersnapper who's calling their first game, mm-hmm. you've welcomed him into your living room for 20-plus years, it's part of the fabric. You know, it's the same as you're hoping to see Ovechkin when you turn on the TV and you're looking forward to seeing Carbs behind the bench. You want to hear Joe be on the mic, right? And as a broadcaster on these national games, there is something to big moments mattering and being accentuated by great calls, by professional broadcasters knowing how to operate and when to sit out and when to jump in and how to call the play correctly. And so I disagree on this idea of, like, they don't matter. If you want to say they get paid too much money, if we're talking about Brady, who had never called anything, getting $375 million over a decade and not being all that good at it yet, I'm not going to argue with that. But, you know, as an example, Joe Buck and Troy Aikman went to ESPN from Fox for Monday Night.
That's right.
I don't remember what Buck got, but I think it was like $15 million a year or something like that. Is that a lot of money? Sure. That's a huge amount of money. Is it too much? Someone could argue that. I don't have an issue with that. Because
so I would say it is, but there's a marketplace. That's the only thing I would take issue with isn't the right word. We all agree these. I'm tuning into the NFL game, and a lot of times I watch it with volume really low, and I don't even hear the broadcasters because of what's going on in my home, and a baby's trying to sleep, or somebody's mad, or whatever. The point is, I'm watching regardless. So Diane's point, that's right. But there is enough of a marketplace where ESPN's got a marquee standalone telecast. So does NBC. So does Fox. So does CBS. Everybody wants in. That's where the competition is. It's not necessarily for the viewer, right? I mean, the you know, Joe Davis is great. Joe Tessitore is great. And you know, that's the only competition is among those networks to have the best possible broadcast.
I would also point out this, lastly. Do you know what the Fox TV deal is with the NFL? Top of your head?
No, not I don't know the number.
$2.2 billion.
Sure, yeah.
Fox is paid, you know, in the NFL, have a $2.2 billion deal, okay? The number one play-by-play guy should get a good cut of that money, I would say. The guy that's calling your premium game, it's no different, I'm sure Ian feels this way without asking him, that players are overpaid or whatever. When the team is raking in billions of dollars, the players that you're watching, you know, the players that play, the ones that make the whole thing work, they should get a good piece of that pie. And to that, I would say, when you're Fox and everyone's tuning into the game, the guy that is kind of front and center is Joe Buck. You know, now it's ESPN. No one's tweeting about the engineer behind the scenes, you know, played the wrong clip or something. No one's tweeting about the person running the cables who didn't do it just so. Like, they're saying, oh, Joe Buck, what are you doing? Oh, hot mic, you know, whatever. With that comes some money. And so we're talking about a $2.2 billion entity and industry here. For a network with the league, you're damn right. Some of that money should probably go to the guy that's calling the Super Bowl, that's in the booth, doing the bang-up job, making it sound professional with the pipes that make you think this is a big game. That's a good phone call, though. Thank you. Let's go to Brian in Warrington really quick. I want to squeeze him in, and then we got to keep it moving. What's up, Brian?
Hey, Brian.
Hey, guys. Real quick, great show. It definitely matters who calls the game. The Wizards had Phil Chenier and Buck Hantz for years. It was a great combo. They replaced him with Kara Lawson. She stayed 1 year and immediately left, and the broadcast hasn't been the same since. That's all I got, guys. Thank you.
Appreciate you, dude. Yeah, that was a decision, quite frankly, I never quite understood. I know they wanted to kind of rebrand and go in a sort of a newer direction, but I watched a lot of bad Wizards/Bullets games in my lifetime.
And missed those guys dearly.
Having Buck and Phil as part of the furniture, part of the family to me. It was a great broadcast. You know, the Steve's catchphrase, everything from Dagger to How Do You Like That, and saying the lead and what it got to through gritted teeth, and the lead is 9 when it wasn't 9 a minute ago. You know what I mean? Like, all those things I miss, and Phil teaching it as you went. Those guys were awesome. But, you know, they wanted something else. I don't know why, quite frankly, but they did.
I got to hang with Buck a little bit this weekend, actually.
The
always
best.
Going to be missing him. And that group, that's what I grew up with as far as the Wizards go. Grant and Danny with you on the Fan. We'll take you up to 6:15 in Nats baseball tonight.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.